Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I come to work with two hands every day and I'm trying to bless somebody.
We better be in Florida, it better be sunny, and there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
You can get on a podcast, you can get online, you can argue with the clouds, you can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Thursday, October 27th, and it's time for, oh yes, my favorite episode of the week. Get through all those other podcasts with those other goofballs just to get to this one. That's right, it's Stat Nerd Thursday, and actually we're making some changes to the format that I'm super excited about, but one thing we are not changing, and one reason I'm always excited to do the show, is because I get to do it with Dalton Del Don. Dalton, how's it going, buddy?
Well, Harmon, on one hand, my daughter won the finals of her cross country meet, beat second place by 31 seconds. Chloe has now won all 14 of her races. That's the good news. The bad news is I'm out of my $6 million Survivor. It is, I'm really sick to my stomach. It's down to 125 people for a $6 million prize. That's 98%. Of the people are out. I have a perfect setup to have the Cowboys ready for this week. I have the Bills saved for a Thanksgiving outing. Someone sold their ticket on the open market before last week for $27,000. You know, it'd be one thing if it was just, it is what it is. I lost with the Patriots. I really wish Belichick did not go on that 7-minute diatribe about how good the Bears are. That made me confident that they'd be ready. But instead, I know there are warning signs with the Bears having the 10 days to prepare the weird quarterback situation. Did the Skycam wire really affect Mac Jones's interception? But I was really debating the Dolphins. I love the setup in Survivor. It's just really finding which team's going to bring their A game that week. The market, you know, the spread is what it is. The Dolphins had lost three straight. Pittsburgh had just beat Brady. So I was really close to switching it. When you looked at the pot odds, I'm just sick to my stomach that I didn't do it. Obviously, they could have lost that game Sunday night, but I'm doing the max 6 entries next year. My wife's already threatened divorce if I do it, but that's where we sit here. You know, it's like it's just a little more than like, say, rooting for my 49ers or whatever. Like, I'm making the decision of what team to pick. So, you know, and it just, it sucks. I'm out. $6 million, no longer there. I do have a Phillies ticket to win the World Series. So naturally, they're absolutely certain to now lose in the World Series too. But that's where I stand. I know we both attended weddings over the weekend, Harmon, or as my dad would call them, funerals. So tell me how your life's going. I'm a little sad with my Survivor result. And Bill Belichick did not come through.
I don't even know where to go with all that. I mean, yeah, weddings, funerals. I disagree with your father on that one, but you know, that's you might be in a bit of trouble there if you keep this Survivor stuff up, pal. I can't. So you can actually sell your ticket. Like, if you're still alive in it, you can sell it for like $27,000, like Nikki
said? Yeah, on the open. Oh, absolutely. I forget the websites, but yeah, open market, 100%. You can. Yeah, someone did for $27,000 before last week, and now I don't even want to do the math. But $6 million divided by 125, that the equity is a lot higher than that even now. So,
oh
yeah.
My God, I would be. I'm not like a degenerate like you. I'm such a coward. I would be selling that thing like as soon as possible.
Well, you know, I didn't last year. I was down to 23 people, and that would have been a 250K, and I did not sell it. And the Cardinals lost as 15.5-point favorites in Detroit when they went 8-1 on the road, by the way. So both of my losses, the 2 years I've done this, they've been blowouts too. The Cardinals were boat raced in that game as 15.5-point favorites. And Belichick, I turned the TV off in the fourth quarter. I mean, by the way, they didn't really lose that because of the, Zappe came in and got his stuff done. They were outcoached and their defense got just ran. I mean, that is the reason they lost. They did not bring their A game as I was hoping. I coming off those wins. So anyway, that's enough about me. Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest. No more Survivor talk. You're at least saved from that moving forward.
Well, I will kind of miss it. We will talk about the Bears later because the new format for this show is we're going to do the one stat you need to know for every team. That's right. We're going to talk about every single team. So all of you out there, you can feel really, really good about your individual teams when we tell you, well, some of the stats are going to be negative, but basically, we're going to cover every team here. It's going to be great. The show's going to be a lot more fun. It's going to be more fast paced, and it'll be easier to prepare for, which is mostly what I care about, obviously. And we are going to put some parameters in place here, Dalton, so that we don't talk for 10 minutes on every team, specifically on the 49ers. Every week, there's going to be a 5-minute clock. Like, I'm literally going to set a timer. We're not allowed to talk about the 49ers for more than 5 minutes. If we go way under, that's great. If we go way over, you know, I kick you off the show. Basically, that's how this is going to go.
Totally fair.
Let's get right into it. Let's start with the Eagles here. We're going to go every week. We're going to go by best to worst record. So if you win games, you get treated nicely. You get talked about early. It's an incentive for those teams out there to get their act together and win some games. Starting with the Eagles, you brought this to the table, Dalton. The Eagles have the second highest passing rate against them. Like you said, not neutral pass rate, none of that stuff. Like just regular good old pass rate. I think this is interesting for multiple reasons. Of course, it's teams are passing against them because the Eagles are really good. That's why they're the first one off here. They've won a ton of games. But I think it's also really interesting, Dalton, because Adam Levitan pointed this out on Twitter. Like the rest of the season schedule in terms of opposing quarterbacks for the Eagles is hilarious. They got Kenny Pickett, Davis Mills, Taylor Heineke, Sam Ellinger, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill, Daniel Jones, Justin Fields, Dak Prescott, whoever the hell the Saints are going to be starting, and then Daniel Jones again. I mean, there's not all dust there, but especially these next four games, Pickett, Mills, Heineke, ODU's finest, and Sam Ellinger, not great.
Yeah, to give perspective, against the Bears this year, teams have ran a pass play 48% of the time. That's 65% of the time against these Eagles. You just named the shaky quarterback, so wheels up for the Eagles' fantasy defense coming out of the bye with that schedule. That could be obviously some scoring. Depending on your scoring, they could do some damage there. And you also look like on the flip side, maybe George Pickens can get – it may not be efficient, but maybe volume will be there this week if they're these teams are forced to pass for a variety of reasons, whether it's the Eagles' run D or it's the Eagles' offense jumping out to these big first-half leads. Whatever it is, it's dictating volume in the passing game from their opponents.
It's funny too, because when you look at it from like a yards per attempt on the ground versus yards per attempt through the air, like it's actually close and it shouldn't be close. Like their pass defense has been awesome, but still teams are forced to pass against them. So I agree, wheels up for the Eagles defense. And the great part about their offense is we know exactly who the guys are. Like we know where the ball's going there. So the defense is actually the most interesting thing to talk about in fantasy, which is when you know you're a very, very good team. Let's move on to the Giants here. This is another one you brought to the table. It's a stat I talked about. I think it was with Andy Andy or Scott, one of the podcasts from this week. Robert Mays tweeted out that the league leaders in carries of 10-plus yards this season. Nick Chubb, 24. Lamar Jackson, second place with 21. Josh Jacobs, third place with 19. Saquon Barkley, fourth place with 17, as Robert puts it in his tweet, in fifth place is Daniel MF and Jones with 15 as well.
crazy. Only Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields have more rushing yards than Jones. That's how he's been a top 10 fantasy QB per game this year, while averaging fewer than 175 passing yards, just 6 passing scores in 7 games. Hopefully the receivers eventually get healthy. I heard a stat. I think only 4 quarterbacks ever have ran for more than he's on pace for to run this season. So, man, Danny Dimes, you got to love it for fantasy. This week, amazing matchup against Seattle. I mean, I have him as a top 5 fantasy option. He's been playing even better on the road, too. So, love him this week. And even moving forward with that running, that's the cheat code for fantasy. So, you got to kind of change our perspective here and treat Danny Dimes as a top 12 fantasy QB moving forward. As long as he's healthy, hopefully he doesn't suffer these injuries that compromising. Right. Remember, he was also doing this while battling through an ankle injury the first few weeks of the season. So, yeah, man, finally the right coach. Yeah, it's exciting news for real life. They're getting it done, but also fantasy, man. This is really where it's at. He's running.
It really is. He's averaging 8.3 rush attempts per game. He's on pace for 833 rushing yards, which is just insane. Just real quick, I think Daniel Jones, you know, he's become a fantasy QB1 because of this rushing. I'm curious, Dalton, will they bring him back next year if he keeps this up? Because, you know, it's going to be weird because they declined his 5th year option. You know, like, can they really franchise tag him? Can they give him some sort of, like, 2-year
deal?
That's
like the new Moneyball thing, is to decline that option and get career years. Josh Jacobs too, right? I mean, yeah, I think obviously they're winning games, and if he continues to play like that, you've got a quarterback position with his pedigree. Absolutely, they need to. Yes, they will re-sign him if the season continues as is. Remember, he's doing this with arguably bottom 3 receivers to throw to in tight end position too in the league. So Wandell getting healthier. It sounds like Tony's still not practicing, but yes, course, I think they need to reevaluate. I mean, this is his first year, a whole new coaching staff too. So absolutely, I think the chances of him staying in New York have increased significantly.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. It's crazy. I mean, the Giants are going to moonwalk into a playoff spot because they're in the NFC with that record. Like, and you can't really just jettison a playoff quarterback unless you're the 49ers, of course, and then you end up
Daniel Jones is having horrible coaching. He tried to play through this hamstring injury. You looked at the nerd stats. It said he was like a top 10 deep passer. I don't know. There's interesting stuff here. I'm fully interested to see what he could do with better receivers around him and moving forward, both in real life and obviously fantasy.
Totally agree with you. All right, next up, we got the Bills here. Since week 4, Devin Singletary has 51% of the team carries. Both James Cook and Zach Moss are sub 10%, so basically all the rest of it is going to Josh Allen. We know that's going to be the case. 50% of his runs have gone for 5-plus yards, Devin Singletary. Like, he's been legit good as a runner. 77% snap rate and an 11% target share. I feel like Scott was on this trend early of Devin Singletary actually plays more and is more a part of the offense when the Bills are in these like close competitive games, not when they're going to, which is weird for a fantasy running back that has this type of usage. But, you know, nevertheless, that is what it is. Devin Singletary, Dalton, I feel like, I mean, what is he, a top 20 running back the rest of the way? If he's truly going to ice out Zach Moss, who was a healthy scratch before the bye against the Chiefs, I feel like Singletary, I've got him on a couple of teams, and I mean, I don't feel great about him like a Josh Jacobs type of value or something like that, but I feel like he's going to end up going down as a pretty good value here.
Yeah, the answer to your first question is yes, he'll probably finish around the RB20 this year, barring injury. But I'll throw one back at you. What do you do with him this week as 12-point favorites? Because there's no question he has dramatic splits in games that are close and games that are not. And I know we look at Aaron Rodgers, first time ever double-digit dog. It's like crazy to fathom, but it's that way for a reason. It's only growing. It was 10.5. I just checked. It's to 12 MGM. So wow. What do you do there? I mean, I personally lowered Singletary. I was down closer to 30 as opposed to higher. And it's totally, ironically, because of the game script. It's bizarre, but I mean, that's the way it's what it's been. Maybe it'll be different this week. I don't know.
Yeah. I can't quite figure it out either, right? Because it's just like in my brain, I'm like, they're heavy favorites. This is a defense like in Green Bay that you can exploit from a rushing perspective. This, I don't know. And you know, part of me also is like, okay, they'll figure it out. Like the Packers will keep this a little more competitive than
that. Yeah, and game script doesn't always go as you expect too. That's the other thing. You know, it could be a close game just because it's a spread that high. But I don't know. It's a very weird situation for sure.
Yeah, and there's just so many bad vibes around the Packers, but listen, in the spots where I have Singletary, unless I'm loaded, I'm probably going to end up playing him and just like, we'll see. Cause you know, if Zach Moss is truly iced out of this backfield, then it's great for Singletary, but it's also good news for James Cook as well, who becomes like, you know what, like, does he become like a Alexander Mattison type of stash, like somebody you should just have on your bench, you know, you're never going to play unless the starter gets hurt. And then, you know, Cook, if Cook is really as good as they thought he was to take him in the second round, which maybe he's not, he would end up being like a really, and getting like this type of workload on this offense, he would be pretty electric. So I don't know. I to answer your question about this week, I'm probably going to play him and sort of ignore those splits, but maybe I'm wrong to do that. We'll see.
No, that's fair. I would play him too. You're not having problem. You probably do not have three better running backs on your team.
All right, next one up here, we've got the Vikings. They're 15th in rushing EPA and they're 14th in dropback EPA right now. Translation, the Vikings have just kind of been an average offense, Dalton. Certain other metrics they look better in than EPA, but this is kind of where they're at right now. I feel like we've left a lot of meat on the bone for this Vikings offense, which is weird to say because Justin Jefferson's been good. He hasn't been like, you know, all out dominant, like, you know, worth the number one overall pick in fantasy or something like that. But he has been pretty good. Adam Thielen's had some moments. They haven't gotten a ton out of like KJ Osborne or any of these ancillary players, but just kind of wanted to do a temperature check on the Vikings offense as they're coming out of the bye.
Yeah, I'm curious to see exactly coming out of their bye 5-1, but just, you know, outscored opponents by 21 points. I was pretty high on them entering the year. The NFC remains wide open and, you know, they easily could take it, but haven't been overly impressed. But yeah, give coaching staff a pass. It's, you know, their first go through. So yeah, I'm curious, just like you, how they perform coming out of the bye, a disappointment so far.
Yeah,
people give me a hard time because I call them a disappointment. I get it. They're 5-1. I get it. But and they had shown a little bit more neutral path, like they've been a little bit more aggressive toward the end there. Again, let's see. Let's give them more of a sample. But so far, yeah, it's been they have not been lighting on fire at all. Very mediocre despite their record.
Yeah. And like it feels like when you've talked to Vikings fans on Twitter, they're all like, yeah, we're just, I mean, they're always waiting for disaster to strike. And it feels like they're like, we are not buying into this 5-1 record. So that makes a lot of sense there. Yeah. I mean, they're a pretty simple team to figure out, but definitely, again, feel like there's been some meat left on the bone. I'm curious to see if that changes coming out of the bye week. Next team up here, Dallas Cowboys. The stat for this team, Tony Pollard has run a route on just 35% of the team dropbacks, but he has a 23.1% targets per route run on the year. He was a zero in the passing game against the Lions, but that's kind of to be expected. I wanted to talk about Tony Pollard because his standalone value has, it's sort of kind of been there in some moments, but it's been tough to predict because he doesn't have this legit like passing game role that I thought he might have coming into this year. Stupid of me to think that, by the way. I'm never selling myself on another fantasy back just because, oh, they might fill in for wide receiver absences. I'm never doing that again. But he might have a big opportunity this week with Zeke Elliott nursing a knee injury.
Yeah, it's that same injury our guy Edwin Porras noted. He played 66% of the snaps on the first six drives, down to 39% the final five drives after suffering that hit to the knee. It looked gross, the footage of it. It's the same right knee he's dealt with for the past 3 years he's missed time with. He normally does not miss practice, and he has. I think there's a real chance he maybe misses this game. The Bears, the highest run rate against them. I moved Pollard to my RB9 for the week now, assuming that we're going to get a real compromised, if at all, Zeke in a matchup as double-digit favorites. Bears coming off that big win in a short week. This is a total setup for a boat race. The pressure rate, I think it's the most pressure rate team against the, I know that Field skews it a little because he runs, but the highest pressure team, I mean, this just looks like a game script totally pointing to more passing. But Dak, you know, still working his way back from that thumb injury. So love Tony Pollard this week. You can imagine he'll be super popular in DFS if Zeke is indeed ruled out. But yeah, obviously a situation to pay attention to in fantasy because of the matchup this week and moving forward, man. Hopefully it's not a serious injury, but if it were to be, Pollard would be massive, obviously.
Yeah, the setup would be awesome this week for Tony Pollard. RB9 sounds about right. It's just like, hey, unless you have studs at running back, like you need to break ties in favor of playing Tony Pollard this week if there's no Zeke Elliott. The matchup is great, as you mentioned, and I agree. Like, Bears coming off a big win, that's great. I we'll talk about the Bears here in a little bit. Surprisingly higher than you'd think because their record's not half bad. But yeah, I think this would be a good letdown spot for them. Good bounce back spot for Dallas, even though they won last week. Like, I think, yeah, boat race sounds about right for the Dallas Cowboys, and Tony Pollard for sure can benefit from that. Chiefs are on their bye week. Their stat, though, and I think this might surprise people considering, like, the wide receivers have been a little bit disappointing in fantasy, except of late. The Chiefs have the fourth highest yards per play when targeting wide receivers at 9.4. Dalton, I'm ready for you to apologize for slandering me and Juju Smith-Schuster and my Juju prediction about this year after his two biggest games of the season.
Yeah, apologies. Patrick Mahomes is so good. Man, even Mecole Hardman was a top five fantasy wideout last week against them. Yeah, I don't know. What was the volume here looking for with Juju there? I don't know. It was a couple big plays, right? He's made two big plays. He's still not over eight targets. I would be selling him here after those games personally, but maybe I'm off. You think it's going to be good to go moving forward?
I think so. Just because I think they figured his role out a little bit. I think that's a big part of it. I talked about this with you with Juju. Like, he's not a man coverage beating receiver, and your 49ers, Dalton, went out there and played zone coverage on 63% of their plays against Patrick Mahomes and his zone coverage beating receiver in Juju Smith-Schuster. I think he's just kind of getting integrated into the offense. Like, MVS's performance, and he's going to have those like big 26 air yard per target games where he comes in and gets 100 yards. You know, Mecole Hardman, I'm not really buying into that. But Juju, I do think, is the sustainable piece of this offense.
One target inside the 10 this year. But yeah, I mean, if you're tied to Mahomes, yeah, for sure. Nope. That's interesting. He's still getting it. That stat you have with the receivers, man, because it just doesn't feel like it's been so helpful for fantasy managers. But Mahomes is just so damn good. It's crazy. He's impossible to defend.
I don't think Juju is going to be like a league winner or anything like that. But I do think he's like a top 30 receiver rest of season, like a low end two, high end three, a guy that you can start with some degree of confidence. Like, he's not going to put up those big games like he has the last 2 weeks, but now he's like a top. This is just how fantasy works, right? Like, there was such a disappointing player, blah, blah, blah. Him and Brandon Ayuk, obviously two guys I drafted a lot of, like, oh, they're doing nothing to start the season. And now they're both like wide receiver 19 and wide receiver 20 on the season, because that's how wide receivers work.
Yeah, exactly. It can be so quick. So, he's another good example of one right there. But, well done. Yeah, hopefully you're patient with Juju. It's definitely looking better than it was 3 weeks ago.
It's definitely looking better than it was 3 weeks ago, but we'll see. The Jets are fifth in total offensive EPA on plays with two running backs on the field. I talked about this with Austin yesterday when we were breaking down the James Robinson trade, that the Jets are one of the few teams that have actually pulled off, like, the two running back packages, like those pony personnel packages with Breece Hall and Michael Carter on the field together. I'm curious what your reaction is with Michael Carter now that we have James Robinson in the fold, and I expect them to keep playing those packages, and that's probably a big reason why they went out and got an established guy in James Robinson.
I like Carter this week. I wrote about him for the DFS and Yahoo. He's just $15. Patriots, I know they shut down the Browns defense, but they obviously did not do well against the Bears. They ranked 28th in run defense, DVOA. James Robinson, I'd be surprised if he contributes right away. We like the story, but whatever Football Outsiders version is, it's DYAR. He's last among whatever their grading of running backs this year. It's just tough to come back from the Achilles, and now he's dealing with a knee injury. He's going to pick up the playbook and suddenly see a ton of snaps. I doubt that. There will be some Ty Johnson, but Michael Carter has not been amazing this year, but he's been solid enough, and I think he's going to be relied upon a ton this week. I mean, the Jets have just gone crazy run heavy since Zach Wilson's taken over. His stats, here's a funny stat for you. Wilson is getting 9.1 YPA when kept clean, 1.7 YPA under pressure. So this team just want anything they can to do to keep the guy outside of pressure. So I think Carter's going to get the ball a ton against the Patriots in a low-scoring game. And at $15, I like him in DFS this weekend. Maybe it delves into a three-headed committee moving forward, but I'm skeptical about James Robinson, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong.
And they just lost their best offensive lineman, Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yes, I meant to say that. Yeah.
And the Zach Wilson pressure stats make so much sense, because I don't think Zach Wilson is like, he's got a lot of arm talent, and I don't think he's like a dummy or anything like that. In terms of like reading out the plays, making the reads, all that type of stuff. I mean, most quarterbacks start to their first read on like 70% of their plays anyway. So it's, whatever. That's kind of like a tired trope at this point. But he absolutely goes completely haywire under pressure, and like, not just like, oh man, I'm going to get sacked. Like, he tries to get himself out of those sacks, and he is not that guy. Like, he's not a creative. I mean, he's got a little bit of like rich man's Taylor Heineke in him, where he thinks he's much more athletic. Actually, it's almost a better comparison is Baker Mayfield, who plays like he's Kyler Murray, but he's not Kyler Murray, but he acts like he has all that athleticism. And that used to get Baker in so much trouble, even with the Browns, and obviously especially with the Panthers when he was under pressure. Wilson has a lot of that in him.
Couple more stats for you, courtesy Sam Munson from PFF. His completion percentage, Zach Wilson, when kept clean, 75.7%. Under pressure, 16.1%. Put differently, he's getting 1.2 yards per pressure dropback. Conversely, Mahomes is getting 6.6 yards. Josh Allen's getting 12 yards per pressure dropback, which is just insane. The Jets have gone incredibly run heavy. I believe it was like Joe Flacco already has more pass attempts, still has more pass attempts than like Mariota on the season.
Yes, that's true.
And then since Wilson's taken over, it's been the absolute opposite, and they've just become one of the more run heaviest teams. So I do like Carr. Obviously, it's great news for Carter that with unfortunately Breece Hall gone, horrible news for fantasy managers. But yeah, I mean, Carter is a guy that could be a real difference maker moving forward fantasy wise.
Yeah, and you feel for the Jets fans and obviously the Jets too, that
these young guys, Javonte Williams and Breece Hall, come on, man. It's just so frustrating.
Yeah. And the Jets certainly are aware of like Zach Wilson's struggles under pressure. That's when they have gone out and gotten like all these offensive linemen the last couple of years, and they're all injured. You know, Mekhi Becton injured. Fant has had injury problems. Dwayne Brown, they go out and sign him to replace Becton, injured. Elijah Vera Tucker, injured. They bring in Laken Tomlinson, though. Like, they've tried to make those moves, just hasn't really hit to this point, mostly because of injuries. All right, Tennessee Titans here. Ian Harditz had this. Derrick Henry's last three games against the Houston Texans, 32 carries, 211 yards, 3 touchdowns. 22 carries, 212 yards, 2 touchdowns. 34 carries, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns. Derrick Henry, any reason he shouldn't be ranked as the RB1 this week against this bad, bad Texans defense?
He has to be. I used him as my conviction picks this week. I know it's like Captain Obvious, but I predicted 3 touchdowns. It's another monster game. It's such a perfect setup. Here's another interesting stat for you. It kind of depends on where you want to break the minimum thing, but Derrick Henry ranks top 3. His player profiler page is top is first, but top 3 in yards per reception and yards per route run. Derrick Henry, I mean, wowzers. What a turnaround from him going to be completely a zero in the passing game to that. So, yeah, and this setup, as you said, just destroyed. It's the worst run defense in the league. They don't want to pass the ball. And Tannehill, by the way, is banged up. Pick up Malik Willis, if you're in a super flex league, but maybe if you can afford it at all, because this fantasy wise, he was going to run. So Tannehill's still dealing with a walking boot, last I heard. So I think King Henry, it's almost too perfect of a setup, you know, like it's just so obvious.
What could go wrong? Yeah. What could possibly go wrong? I agree. Keep an eye on the Malik Willis thing. All right. Bengals here. You brought this one to the table. Bengals pass rate over expectation in weeks 1 to 5, average of 2.2% over expectation. Week 6, plus 21%. Week 7, plus 23%. The Bengals have also shifted to like a pure shotgun offense over the last 2 weeks as well. That's huge, Dalton, for a couple of reasons. Obviously, it's good for the pass game, but their rushing game and their passing game had been so... to use a highly corpo term, like the corporate bosses are always like, we got to break down the silos, we got to break down the walls or whatever. Their passing game and their run game had been so siloed because like they would only run out of center, but they'd only throw out a shotgun, which is a bizarre thing to do. But they're basically like, there's no point in going under center. And I think a lot of teams are going to figure this out too, that with the way defenses are being played right now, there's really no point in going under center at all, especially when you have this type of weaponry in the receiver room. I think the Bengals offense is officially back, and I'm willing to give like Zach Taylor some credit. I think they should have figured this out sooner, but it's good that they figured it out now.
Yeah, especially they can't run the ball too. So totally, they do deserve credit. It wasn't even during a bye week either when they flipped this switch. So I have a Joe Burrow to finish with the most passing yards ticket. So I don't hate 481 yards from him last week. He's a threat to shatter the record for the most 400-yard passing game. So it's great for his fantasy value. Obviously, Chase, especially if Higgins continues to be not 100%. Boyd's going crazy. So, I expect more of the same, a lot of shotgun and a lot of pass rate over expectation, which, by the way, they did this in the playoffs. They were a run team, protecting Burrow's knee, coming back from surgery, and then suddenly the playoffs, they did go pass heavy, and it brought them all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, obviously, it's huge for guys like Chase and Higgins, but I even think Tyler Boyd is going to kind of get on the wide receiver three borderline, because just watching them against the Falcons, and the Falcons cornerback situation beyond AJ Terrell, who got banged up, is pretty bad. But they're playing those cover two looks early in the game, and Tyler Boyd has 100 yards in that game before you could even blink, before you could really even figure, because he's just ripping the seam, which is the weakness of a cover two team. Those two high safeties are, mostly patrolling the boundaries against a go route from Jamar Chase or something like that. It's almost, again, it's, I want to give Zach Taylor and the boys credit, even though I think they should have figured this out sooner. It's you have a great slot receiver and Tyler Boyd, rip that thing up the middle, man. And I think Boyd, unless defenses change how they're going to play them, which, we'll see, he could be a huge fantasy winner out of this passing change, but also because of the way defenses have been playing them.
I know Burrow's target rate in the slot at LSU was through the roof too, so it all makes sense. I know they're trying to get Chase to move him in there too at times, but now just keep those on the outside, Boyd eat out of the middle, and it's working. Obviously they have a very potent offense.
Joe Burrow, rest of season, where would you rank him among quarterbacks?
Oh, man, that guy easily led the league in YPA last year. I was pretty aggressive with him. So after the runners, he's right there. You got even Jackson is slumped. Allen Hurts and Jackson, and then he's right there at four or five. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd have Mahomes still at four, and then I think Burrow at QB5 rest of season.
Yes. Yes.
Probably still a teardrop, though, beyond after that four, but I think Burrow is the next guy. My God, we have needed some. I'd rather have him than Kyler Murray for sure, even though Kyler Murray theoretically has the rushing upside. Yeah,
agreed.
Totally agree. All right, next one up here for the LA Chargers. This one comes in from a little website called Reception Perception. Josh Palmer's in-season success rates of 42.1% against man coverage and 60.9% against zone coverage and 40% success rate versus press all would have ranked second to last in reception perception charting from 2021. Josh Palmer, not very good. I've said that, but I will say this, Dalton. If Josh Palmer is going to play a role in this offense, I kind of actually think he's a better fit replacing Mike Williams because of the lack of separation here. Williams's success rates are all better than this in reception perception. He's kind of, I think, a league average separator, whereas Josh Palmer is obviously below league average, but I think he's better running boundary routes, running as an outside receiver than trying to do some over the middle stuff, slants, curls, all that, the more Keenan Allen type routes. I think he makes a much better replacement for Mike Williams from an injury perspective. And, I'm not very high on the player, but I actually do think while Mike Williams is out, and apparently, according to reports this morning, he's going to miss at least 4 weeks, it sounds like. I think Palmer can actually be a pretty decent wide receiver three during those weeks.
Yeah, hopefully he can get healthy during the bye. Even if he's not great in real terms of a route runner, he's in such a good situation, should be helpful for fantasy managers. The injury did not look great for Williams. Who knows what's going on with Keenan Allen? Missed most of the second half, too, there. Can you guess how many catches your guy Eckler's on pace to record this season?
It's 129 or something
That's exactly right. Great. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
It was funny because he was talking about it on the podcast yesterday. He's like, I know that stat's going around. He's like, I don't want that. I don't want to break the catches record because that means our wide receivers aren't playing as well as we need them to, or we're not getting the ball to wide receivers the guy knows those little bunny hop little checkdowns are great for fantasy, but not good for the health of the offense. You can have him catching 80, 90 balls, but if he's catching 129, it means these wide receivers are not very good. And by the way, without Keenan Allen, and obviously Mike Williams, I think is miscast as a number one receiver, those wide receivers are not very good.
Yep. Oh, Gerald Everett's need to step up too with Parham. It's just a bunch of injuries across the board. Spiller has been a disaster for best ballers. Even with injuries to Kelly, it's like he's buried on the depth chart. So yeah, not been great for the Chargers and fantasy world, other than Eckler, who's just been crazily valuable in PPR. Just amazing.
Thank God. I was not trying to have like a slow Austin Eckler season hosting a podcast with him every week.
You're not. You're not.
But it would be better if the Chargers could win some freaking games. So let's get that together, Brandon Staley. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do one more stat for every team.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, Dalton, we're back. Got the Dolphins here. The Dolphins have the eighth easiest strength of schedule the rest of the way. They have the Lions, the Browns, the Bears, the Texans up next. Your guy, Raheem Mostert, man, where just like think about where you'd rank him, not rest of season and you know whatever, but like with those four matchups, like the next month, how high are you going to have Raheem Mostert in your weekly rankings?
Yeah, like top 15-ish, you know, right around in that area, getting the work. If he can stay healthy, should be productive. Love him in this week's matchup, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, Edmonds is just disappointed. What happened to the receiving role, too? So, yeah, you like to see the schedule there. I just want to quickly point out that Tyreek Hill, yes, he's been very productive, but he could start going nuts and the touchdowns will come because the targets have been there. And I'm ready for another huge, huge game from him. Maybe a track meet indoors against Detroit this week, too. Could happen.
100%. Let's hope the Lions, we'll talk about them, can hold out their end of the bargain. All right, Seahawks. Geno Smith is throwing to tight ends on 26.7% of his passes. That is the fifth highest in the NFL. Obviously, I expected him to be higher on the wide receiver list because they have Lockett and Metcalf, but this offense has been getting some efficient plays to their tight ends, and I think we know that with DK Metcalf probably going to miss like what at least this week, maybe the week after that. That's a good bump for Tyler Lockett. Although I'm just ready for him to put up like a 3-for-23 game during that span at some point, just because that's how football works. But I kind of think like Noah Fant could be a sneaky, decent replacement for DK Metcalf, just because Geno's been thrown to his tight ends. You'd think they'd try to get Fant like really going at some point, you know? So he was part of the trade for the Russell Wilson trade. They have him, you know, going forward. Like, I kind of think they'd want to get him involved at some point. I don't know that you need to add him to rosters right now, but he's a guy that I think might help us at tight end at some point during this Metcalf absence.
Yeah, someone to pay attention to, but Disley's been there. But yeah, Metcalf, you figure to miss some time. And Lockett, his hamstring may not be quite right. Yeah, just love Kenneth Walker. Fastest speed of any ball carrier last week. Going to treat him as
all
a
year.
Weekly. All year, sorry. Going to treat him as a weekly top five fantasy back. Yeah, man, so, so good.
Awesome. Hell yeah. The Seahawks offense is like so fun to watch at this point. It's the great stuff. Indianapolis. The Colts rank second over the last 2 weeks with a 70.4% neutral pass rate. But Dalton, is there any way they can continue to play like that with Sam Ehlinger coming in as their new starting quarterback for the rest of the season? This is a guy who ran for 30 plus touchdowns in college. I think they're putting him back there because he is not just a stone cold pocket statue like Matt Ryan and Nick Foles would be. Is there any way they continue playing offense like they have the last 2 weeks? Because it's been awesome for us in fantasy, but clearly, and they won a game against Jacksonville too, but clearly they're looking for some sort of change there.
No way this week against Washington defense. It's third in pressure rate, so I would be shocked if they went pass heavy this week. I expect a healthier Taylor to be the focal point. So yeah, it's bad news for Pittman and your guy Campbell. I know you always hype him up every week. It's finally getting the targets and Pierce.
But
yeah, it's no, I'm joking. I actually the guy who drafted Paris Campbell in the 14th round of every draft, but he showed signs of life, doubling the targets, I believe, back to back weeks. But yeah, it's bad news. Even though Ryan's not obviously looking good, I would guess at least in the short term, we have to expect bad news for all the pass catchers. And then maybe it ends up ultimately being good news if because Ehlinger has unknown upside. But certainly in the short term, I would be really surprised if they kept these pass heavyweights given the new quarterback and especially this week's opponent, like I said, who's among the league leaders in pressure rate.
Yeah, Alec Pierce is one of my guys that I like a lot. He's probably, I don't know, not so good. Not so good now. Like, he was a guy that's like, oh, don't drop Alec Pierce. But, you know, him and Paris Campbell probably are, like, expendable at this point. I'm just hoping that Ehlinger comes in there and just locks onto Michael Pittman, and that's all he does. But we'll see. Not great news for Michael Pittman. All right, LA Rams. Van Jefferson averaged 13.4 air yards per target in 2021. He also got a first down on 64% of his catches. Only Cooper Kupp is over 60% this year on the LA Rams in terms of first downs per catches. Van Jefferson's a good player. He was the vertical receiver last year. That air yards per target led the team last season. He's slated to come back this week. Jordan Rodriguez actually said he could have came back in week 6, but they needed to keep him on IR so they could deal with a couple of other injuries. The Rams are obviously dealing with a ton of injuries, but I don't know, man. I'm feeling better about the Rams offense, a lot better right now than I was like 3-4 weeks ago, partly because of Allen Robinson's play against the Panthers, but a lot because Van Jefferson, I just think, is a good player, and like they need that vertical threat in this offense.
And I feel like they're still going to be unable to run the ball, which should help the receivers. Defense not as elite as it has been. Do you know that I just heard the stat that Allen Robinson leads the NFL in end zone targets? That was very surprising to me.
He's like their goal line back.
I know I've seen it. Yeah, I know I've absolutely pictured it. But yeah, because they failed so many, he gets another one, right? But Van Jefferson absolutely should be added in competitive leagues now. And maybe, yeah, Higbee's hilarious. All his targets have been around the line of scrimmage. But we'll see if what they fixed during the team's bye. Niners dealing with some injuries on defense still. But yeah, I expect I'm with you on the pass catchers because the Rams are really I expect them to continue struggling to run it.
Yeah, I don't think that this is the week necessarily against the 49ers, but I feel like going forward they're going to be guys that, you know, like they're startable players. Robinson will be a startable player. You know, Jefferson will certainly be a guy that I think is on the radar as well. I would say just all leagues, he should be like 100% rostered. I wouldn't even say just competitive leagues, man. I think Van Jefferson's legit good. We'll stay in the NFC West here. Arizona Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins in week 7 in his return. 48% targets per route run with a 46% slot rate. The slot rate is really interesting, Dalton, because Cliff Kingsbury has, you know, typically just run DeAndre Hopkins on the left side of the field, kept him tethered there. Even Marquise Brown, when he played this year, just kept him tethered to the left side of the field. But this is kind of good news, I think, for maybe the Cardinals offense as a whole. You know, if Hopkins is going to transition into that like big slot role for the rest of his career, that would be kind of awesome. Although it does pretty much like put Rondale Moore in the dirt because Rondale Moore cannot play outside.
14 targets immediately, even after a slow start last week. I have Hopkins as my wide receiver 6 this week. He's right there in that tier. I put him right there with Diggs, Adams. I mean, whatever, even Kupp. I mean, I think the usage is going to be maybe not quite as Kupp, but he's right there next. And yeah, I think it's going to be that way moving forward with no Hollywood Brown. The team can't run the ball either. Kind of a disaster else everywhere else. So I just think Murray and Hopkins are just going to go pepper. He's going to pepper Hopkins with targets moving forward.
I agree. I feel like he's in that just off the elite tier of wide receivers rest of the way. Like, I think Hopkins looked good too. I don't think he is toast at all. Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons rank 31st in strength of schedule rest of season. I wanted to put this one in there because Dalton, there's no way we're never going to get Kyle Pitts. We're never going to get Drake London like we want him to, man, because the Falcons with this easy strength of schedule can just continue to just run the piss out of the ball. And I really think it's just frustrating, obviously, for fantasy, but all of this stuff is just prepping for 2023 for this team. I know Arthur Smith wants to win games and be competitive, obviously, but they've drafted. I know it's like the popular talking point. Like, why would you draft Kyle Pitts and Drake London in the top 10 to then just run the ball a ton? It's like, they're, you know, I don't know, man. I don't want to make excuses because it was so frustrating last week, but this team is clearly building like its passing game for 2023. It's just not there this year. I don't think it will be at any point.
I mean, they were down 10 plus points for the final 50 minutes last week and still threw 13 passes. I mean, it's a problem. It's a problem. And as you said, the schedule, if they weren't going to do it last week, they basically never were. And now with that schedule, it's just going to be horrible for fantasy managers. I figured at least one of London or Pitts, but it might be neither. It's not great.
I'd keep Drake London. I'd probably keep both of them on rosters. Pitts is tough, like in a shallow league, in a 10-team league, you know, it's the thin benches. I don't really like rostering two tight ends. You can't start him, but I would hang on to Drake London just in case something changes, man. You know, in case like Ritter gets in there and is a better quarterback than Marcus Mariota, but that's all we can kind of hope for. Chicago Bears, Justin Fields, just one of his 14 week 7 runs were a scramble. Yeah, they designed a lot of rush attempts for Justin Fields, as you know, against the Patriots, Dalton, unfortunately. I thought it was kind of an encouraging sign because, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick and the guys on the Amazon Prime broadcast when they played on Thursday night, like kept hammering that he just doesn't fit the offense that they wanted, you know, drop back offense that they were kind of running out there in Chicago. But then I thought the offense they had him play in against the Patriots, I was like, this is what Justin Fields at this point in his career should be playing in. And like, if he's going to play in this type of offense, he's going to be so much better in fantasy than he previously had been.
He looked great. Yeah. On the road too. 8.5 YPA. He's eclipsed 80 rushing yards in back-to-back weeks. So yeah, it's good for his fantasy value and real life. Yeah. If you have that ability, why not give him a more rollouts? I believe he was really accurate in college on rollouts. And that's part of the criticism I've seen with the coaching is he's been actually his best too in the pros, but they're not calling enough of those. And they definitely did a little bit more Monday night. So very encouraging. And boy, there's a lot of fantasy upside. Look, the last 2 weeks, he has four carries inside the 5 yard line. I mean, that's what you want to see in fantasy terms.
Green Bay Packers. The Packers, when throwing to wide receivers, rank fifth. They're tied for fifth in plays of 20 plus yards. I think that would surprise some people because their wide receivers are not very good, but they're 27th in plays of 10 plus yards, which means it's either all or nothing with these wide receivers, Dalton. Alan Lazard is, you know, he's in a sling, and he's been the only really like consistent, steady wide receiver. The Packers, I kind of think they might be a team that should trade for your guy Jerry Jeudy, you know, who might be available, and I feel like actually would kind of help these like short separation type problems they have right now in this receiver room.
Yeah, or even Brandon Cooks. You know, Aaron Rodgers really should be regretting messing around with threatening retirement the more I think about this, because that got Davante Adams leaving, and it's all the difference for Rodgers. I mean, it's a disaster if Lazard's missing time now. Dobbs, I liked him, but he looks like he's, you know, going to be a slower transition to being an impactful NFL player. Yeah, and Watson's not coming back anytime soon. Cobb is out. Sammy Watkins. I mean, it's bad. I mean, your guy Aaron Jones, had a real big, nice game last week. I think the targets should be there now, double digit this week against the Bills. So yeah, it's not great. And Rodgers obviously is getting older. It's crazy to think that's the back-to-back MVP winner as 12-point dogs this week. It's wild how fast things can change.
Rodgers is out there, you know, on like Pat McAfee's show saying that, oh, guys who are making mistakes, we need to cut their playing time.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I tweeted this out this morning, Dalton. Like, I kind of think retroactively Aaron Rodgers should do the right thing and give one of his MVP trophies to Davante Adams. Like, what says most valuable more than, wow, this offense was one of the most efficient offenses in the NFL. You take away one guy, and everybody's like, oh, what is Davante Adams going to do without Aaron Rodgers? What the hell is Aaron Rodgers doing without Davante Adams, this goofball set of receivers? And the whole offense looks like it's broken structurally. The only thing that was working was, oh, 12, find 17, and that's it. Like, Aaron Rodgers owes Davante Adams one of those MVP trophies, and I'm admitting that with all of my receiver bias as well.
Yeah, Bakhtiari, by the way, wakes up when his knee doesn't feel right. Good luck against that Buffalo pass rush. It's not going as expected for Green Bay in many areas. But man, yeah, it could be another ugly one too this week.
It could be. Also, kind of crazy that like
in primetime.
That's not going to be great. It's kind of funny that like the Packers didn't just say to Davante Adams, like, oh, you want to get traded? That's cute. No, we're just going to keep you here. It's crazy. They didn't even like try to play hardball with him. It's like, oh, go ahead, go play with. Maybe they did that just to spite Rodgers. I don't know. There's so many weird things going on there. By the way, we talked about the Rams running the ball. Kyren Williams, officially, they did put him. He's been designated to return from IR. He has a 21-day practice window. So that's still a guy that definitely keep your eye on as well. New England Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson has an 18% target share since week 5. Ramondre Stevenson, nothing can stop this guy.
Yeah, he's so good. I like the matchup Monday night. I expected more from him. But who are they going to start at quarterback? Who knows? Stevenson's so good. Even when Harris did return surprisingly early, Stevenson still pretty much dominated when it mattered. So it's encouraging to see him show these skills as a receiver, which everyone hoped he could. And he's taken over that, you know, the James White role there. So that's nice to see.
All right, Dalton, it's time. The 49ers section here. I have the 5-minute timer here, so you cannot talk about the 49ers for more than 5 minutes. I don't think you will, but I'm going to do it anyways. 66.1% of the team targets have gone to wide receivers. That's the second highest in the NFL. You think this is Brandon Ayuk's week?
Yeah, we're both Brandon Ayuk guys. He's seen 11 targets last 2 weeks. Deebo Samuel, crucially, is now battling a hamstring injury. Maybe he tries to play through it. They have a bye after this week. So, you know, there might be incentive for him to rest it. The Rams rank second against the run in DVOA, and they've seeded by far the fewest fantasy points to tight ends. Not one has even surpassed 45 receiving yards this week. So it just feels like Ayuk, you know, with a banged up Deebo and Kittle, a tough matchup, the running. McCaffrey will definitely get his, but I mean, he's still learning the playbook. So all three of Ayuk's touchdowns this year have come on the road, indoors. The key with our guy, Jimmy G, is pressure. As we saw last week, man, that Chiefs defensive line just owns the Niners. And the Rams, this might surprise some people, but they rank second to last in pressure rate. So, and you know, the Shanahan typically owns the Rams unless it's the game that matters the most to make the Super Bowl. It's the final quarter. But yeah, I like Ayuk in the setup here this week.
Yeah, the Rams might trade for a pass rusher at the trade deadline. I'd keep an eye on that one. I know everybody talked about Christian McCaffrey. Apparently the Rams were thinking about like trading for McCaffrey and then transitioning him to wide receiver as his career went on, which is kind of an interesting idea. With Brandon Ayuk, I agree with you. This is definitely a big week. And my God, dude, I you know, went and charted that game against the Rams the last time, just open on like every play, every play. So if Jimmy can get the time against that secondary.
Yeah, that was when I was there, right? Yeah, yeah, I told you, dude. Yes. He was absolutely toasting that secondary all night. And yes, it's key. Can Jimmy get it to him is obviously what matters most.
I feel like Ayuk has played so well just all season long, but it's starting to show up in the box score, and it should be good the rest of the way, especially because his area where he wins doesn't overlap with McCaffrey as much as Deebo Samuel does, which should be
doing great blocks down the field, like in the run game and stuff. You know, how Shanahan criticized, he's become the complete player, and even when he was in the doghouse at times, his first year and a half in the league, he was among the league leaders in targets inside the five. They do like to get him the ball down there. So yeah, I still like Ayuk's fantasy value, especially if Deebo I hope you know, as a Niner fan, he's not injured, but he pulled his hamstring and they have a bye upcoming. So that's not great.
Good start for this segment that you only went 2 minutes and 30 seconds on the 49ers. Well, that might change.
They did just get boat raced pretty ugly. I mean, that was bad.
Yeah. We'll have some longer Niners talks, I think, in the future where we'll really need this 5 minute timer. All right. Washington,
you know,
Commanders.
What though, Harmon? We never even talked about CMC. I have one thought on it, is that Shanahan would have wasted those picks. They would have wasted those picks on a running back anyway. So that's my defense of that. That's all. You can stop it now. That's all.
Okay.
I'm excited as a fan for McCaffrey. But that trade happened after we recorded last week. So sorry.
It's true. It did. It happened after we recorded the preview show. Yeah, that's man, I'm so interested to see how that all plays out. And you're so right that
I said, come home, Stanford, you know, I called it. I guess that did work for our video saying where to go. But, you know, he gave up a boatload of picks. Shanahan is really playing with fire with his going all in, man. I mean, he's got Lance and McCaffrey and very, very few very little draft capital moving forward.
I'm pissed that I didn't restart the clock at 2 minutes and 30 seconds, because now I think we might have hit five. All right. Washington Commanders. Terry McLaurin had a 25% target share in week 7. Taylor Heinicke knows who the best player in the offense is. Curtis Samuel still had 25% target share, but he got the ball to Terry McLaurin. I feel like Terry McLaurin needs to shoot up the weekly rankings as long as ODU's finest is in there.
Hey, I put him as my wide receiver 14 last week. I had been ranking him outside of my 30. I moved him in top 15 because I fell for that. I feel like there's a good connection here with Heinicke, and obviously Dotson's out too. So yeah, I like him again this week. And where do I have McLaurin? I have him as my wide receiver 20 this week. So yeah, fire him up indoors in this matchup. Yep, go for it.
Las Vegas Raiders are 14th in neutral pass rate this year, which is why only Davante Adams is eating in that passing game. Also, everybody else has been kind of, you know, injured, all that type of stuff. But man, Josh Jacobs, dude, just looks incredible. He's been one of the best backs in the league. And you know, from a rest of season rankings perspective, I think I've got him now at like RB10 or something like that rest of the way, which, you know, even that might feel light.
Yeah, that might be light. I was so wrong on him. He gets all the targets. He looks so good too. Quickly, I just want to say Davante Adams leads the NFL in first down target share by a mile, 44%. Next highest is 36%, and 20% first down targets are worth about 20% more PPR points. So I feel like he could have an eruption one of these weeks. Adams have a really, really big game, especially with no Waller around. It's been Jacobs getting all the touchdowns. So I don't know. It's Adams or Tyreek Hill or maybe both. I feel like just go absolutely berserk this weekend.
I like that call a lot. He's on pace for 1,440 receiving yards, Devontae Adams. So he's definitely been the winner of that trade so far. Carolina Panthers. Donta Foreman had an 85% share of the team carries in the fourth quarter. I think this is important because of game script and also because of Chuba Hubbard's injury. What is your confidence level on Donta Foreman this week and going forward?
Well, it's just all about Hubbard's status. He was the guy being treated as Carolina's feature back the first three quarters. But then you look at the overall four quarters and it's skewed because of what you just said. Foreman got all the work after Hubbard left with that injury. So it'll probably be some sort of a timeshare either way if Hubbard suits up. But Hubbard would be the guy I would prefer given what we've seen last week. And he was pretty effective too. So did the 49ers trade for a system back? I mean, boy, they put up a lot of numbers there that first week there. But yeah, this is just a situation you need to pay attention to coming down to 100% down to Hubbard's ankle injury.
CMC holding the Panthers back. You heard it here first. Actually, I feel like 25 people probably made that joke on Sunday, but whatever. Anyways, Cleveland Browns. Harrison Bryant has an 18% targets per route run rate. That is right in line with Donovan Peoples-Jones. Harrison Bryant, you know, pretty interesting prospect, and now is about to step into a pretty big opportunity with David Njoku and his, you know, 2 week to 5 week timeline that Andy Behrens derided on Monday.
Yeah, the Mackey Award winner. It is Prissett throws to his tight ends quite a bit. I will move Bryant up to I might even move him above Kyle Pitts. He's like a borderline top 12 tight end with our guy Njoku sidelined. Although Cooper will get his this week because they're at home. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's sleeping his bed.
Bryant is 100% on the fantasy radar.
You were so far out in front on the home road splits for Amari Cooper and just how crazy it's been this year, especially. So shout out to you for that one. The Browns get the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Bucks the next 4 weeks. That matchup on Halloween against the Bengals, Harrison Bryant's coming out party potentially. So keep him, you know, maybe if you have trouble at tight end, pick him up and, you know, potentially start him this week. I like that call. Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson working out. I mean, I should have just made the stat that apparently he's working out 4 of the 8 hours on the flight over to London or whatever the tweet going around this morning. Did you see that?
I did. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think my favorite one was said we all owe Pete Carroll an apology.
Dude. Yes, we do. I saw a clip going around too of Greg Olson saying, you know, prior to this year, like, yeah, the coaches in Seattle, they would never. And I think Greg Olson does good work, so I'm not taking a shot at Greg Olson, but like, you know, the coaches in Seattle would always tell me like, we can't run this, we can't run that, like treating it like it's a JV offense basically, because like as if we had a JV roster, you know, because we can't run all these plays. But well, maybe they didn't want to tell you that the reason they can't run all those plays is because of the quarterback. So I don't know, man.
And especially with what Geno Smith's doing, it is fascinating.
It really is. Russell Wilson, the actual stat here is has taken 70% of his plays against zone coverage this year. That is the second highest among all starters. And Russell Wilson has typically been terrible against zone coverage because can't really read out the field, can't really see the middle of the field because he's too short. And I don't think any of these problems are going away for the Denver Broncos.
One thing I want to add is Greg Dulcich. His first week back was all helped by a busted coverage. Last week, he actually became the full-time guy. So he's like a top 12 fantasy tight end moving forward. Bye-bye, Albert Zero. And Greg Dulcich should be added in all fantasy leagues.
Albert Zero should probably get traded to the Packers, too. Can we just send all these disappointing picks? Yeah, yeah. Denver, send all your disappointing. You were supposed to go out and get Aaron Rodgers anyways. Like, have Nathaniel Hackett call up Aaron Rodgers for a Jeopardy session. Just trade all them boys over to
send
Green
all
Bay.
Three. Yeah, send all three there along with Hackett back. Judy, Albert O, and Hackett. I'll package them to the Packers for a six-rounder.
There you go. Perfect stuff. I love that call. Yeah, they're going to leave Hackett in freaking England anyway, so we'll see what happens.
Sorry, I used to be a Judy guy, and here I am taking shots at him. Oh, man, I feel bad.
Speaking of the Denver Broncos, their opponent, the Jacksonville Jaguars this week, their stat actually comes back to the Broncos. Patrick Surtain has lined up in the slot of just 1% of his snaps this year. People will freak out about Christian Kirk because of all the number one receivers that Denver has just completely iced out, but I feel like As long as Marvin Jones and Zay Jones are there, you fire up Christian Kirk with confidence.
Yep, Sertan's turned into the premier corner, shutdown corner right now. So, yeah, good news for him, for Kirk.
Next up, Saints, Chris Olave, 495 receiving yards, are the eighth most by a rookie wide receiver in their first six games as a pro since 1970. This one came in from Graham Barfield, who included the list of the other players, such names as Justin Jefferson, Randy Moss, Anquan Boldin, CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Diggs. Shout out to Stephon Diggs for doing that as like a fifth round pick. And Jamar Chase. There's others as well, but man, good list for Chris Olave to be on. That guy is so good.
Absolutely love Olave this week too. The Raiders are like, they're, I think, the second best EPA per rush and the second worst EPA per pass to their defense. So if Michael Thomas is out again, I couldn't find any update on his info at all, but man, Olave, I'm treating as a top 15 fantasy wideout.
It's amazing about Olave too, dude, is like, they're not running him on like any slants, any give me's. It's all like big boy, non-Mickey Mouse NFL routes. So he has been incredible. I think, you know, people are asking me, like, is he on the Justin Jefferson trajectory? And, you know, I don't want to say anybody's on the Justin Jefferson trajectory because he's become, like, an elite receiver by his third season. But I don't know, man. Chris Olave is out there, like, legit doing it. It's not just because, like, nobody else is out there. He looks like an NFL star right now. Only three more teams here before we get to the two teams on Thursday night. Steelers are bottom 10 in plays of 20-plus yards to wide receivers. Dalton, I know George Pickens is exciting, but I don't want to start any of these wide receivers anymore.
No, man. I still can't go over that secondary dropping four interceptions Sunday night. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Pickens, I love his future, but this is all, yeah. I don't have much to say on in the Pittsburgh situation either.
Yeah, yikes, tough scene. Houston Texans, Brandon Cooks has an 18% share of the team air yard since week four. Nico Collins, who obviously got hurt, has a 34% share. Davis Mills, not good, but was starting to figure out, like, hey, I'll just toss that thing up to Nico Collins and he'll go win in contested situations. Brandon Cook's volume is an extreme concern right now. Unless he gets traded, I feel like he is not a fantasy starter the rest of the season.
Cooks, really? No, I like him this week, though. Like I said, Davis Mills.
I should say if Nico Collins is back, like when he's back in there. Because, I mean, I don't know, it hasn't really happened for Brandon Cooks this year.
Mills way better at home. Titans have allowed the third most fantasy points to receivers. This week, I would be okay with Collins banged up. I think it's all right for him this week. I hear your frustration, though, and he may get traded, too. But Damian Pierce is so good, and it doesn't matter the matchup. Man, he's good.
Detroit Lions, last team before Thursday night. Oh, man, the Lions. They are 28th in EPA per play since week five on offense. Is the Lions carnival ever coming back, Dalton? Remember how fun that Seahawks game was? It's only been pretty much terrible since then.
We need them to get healthy, you know, coming off the bye. Swift still missed action. Amon Ross St. Brown went out immediately. Hopefully he's good to go. And maybe that gave him, you know, an extra week to get that ankle fully right, because it wasn't.
I mean, he didn't even have a concussion, right? Like, you
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I know. It was very, very frustrating if anyone were to happen to use him in DFS last week. But yeah, they need to get healthy. That's what needs to happen. This week, it could be a fun one against Miami. It could be a ton of fireworks and back and forth. But we need ARSB and Swift to get healthy fast.
All right, Dalton, Thursday night football. We got Ravens at Bucks, over under a 45. You brought both the stats for these two teams. Going forward, I didn't say this at the top, but the Thursday night team stats will all be within the Thursday night section. You should have been able to figure that out. I should have said it, but, you know, I'm a mediocre host at best. For the Baltimore Ravens, you brought a stat from Sam Hoppen of 4-for-4. The Ravens are reverting back to their old ways, and it's directly correlated to their rushing game success. In weeks 1-4, they had a plus 4.7% pass rate over expectation, and, you know, we're pretty terrible from an EPA per play perspective as a rushing unit. In weeks 5-7, they're minus 7.2 pass rate over expectation, and their EPA per rush has shot up, Dalton. I do also think this part of this is because Rashad Bateman has been hurt as well. He was kind of involved last week, but I don't know, man. Yeah, the Ravens are back to their old ways, and it's great news for Gus Edwards, who's by far the best back on that roster with Dobbins hurt.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with just the injuries. Bateman, there's big splits. Obviously, they lost Hollywood Brown in the offseason, and Mark Andrews is playing banged up. So I think that's partially Lamar Jackson got off to this hot start. He's not been nearly as effective since. This team wants to run the ball, and now with Edwards back healthy. Edwards split that backfield more than his fantasy production showed. But, I mean, if he's going to remain the goal line guy, that could remain that way. But I'd be... I don't know. I still worry that that backfield isn't quite as great for fantasy managers moving forward as it may seem now with Edwards emerging. But they're certainly going to be, looks like they're going to be a more run team moving forward too, because Bateman's foot can't get right. So that's, health is another area here. And this Thursday night game, they have a lot of players banged up during the short week.
Yeah, it's really tough with Bateman. He didn't practice on Tuesday. We'll monitor practice reports, obviously, going forward. But yeah, God, you just got to get that guy healthy. Like, their offense is not going to hit its peak until he is completely healthy, until he's involved. If he gets a full practice in, on Wednesday, we're taping this at noon, and we haven't seen that yet. If he gets full practice in, like, today and then Thursday, then I think you can fire him up in this matchup. But, if he doesn't, then I'm pretty concerned that we're getting another low floor game from Rashad Bateman. But I'm in on Gus Edwards, man, just because I think he's been so good for them in the past. And to go out there and crush it in his debut, he was top six in rushing success rate among guys who had 10% of their team rush attempts last week. Like, it's a good matchup against the Browns, obviously, and like this matchup against the Bucks, theoretically not as good, but the Panthers did run all over the Bucks. So I'm feeling pretty good about Gus Edwards, and like I would kind of start him with confidence in this matchup. I got him in a dynasty league that is always hurting for running backs, and I'm probably starting him this week.
He had one target, a 35% snap share, and a 36% carry share. But hey, 16 carries in those goal line ones, that's certainly helpful. Lamar Jackson, 12 touchdowns over his first three games. Yeah. Three touchdowns over four games since. Pretty wild there. And now a couple of road matchups. Tampa on the other side. It looks Russell Gage has already been ruled out. Chris Godwin's coming off a game in which he had 43 scoreless yards on 13 targets. Mike Evans with the worst drop of the season.
Man. That was my free lunch from Dalton just went right through his hands there at that one. That could have really helped crazy. Me in our bet, Dalton.
Totally. Yeah, the Ravens are toward the bottom of the league in pressure rate. Have the fifth highest pass rate against them, allowed the sixth most fantasy points to receivers. So could be a nice game for Brady and Evans to bounce back. But man, something weird is going on in Tampa there. You know, it's almost like something ain't right.
Almost like some witchcraft is afoot. You brought a stat for the Bucs. Rob Pizzola says that on Tampa Bay's first down runs this season, and he was responding to a video where Byron Leftwich was like laughing at EPA or whatever. I'm sure Byron Leftwich just doesn't know what EPA is, which is fine. You don't need to know, but he was laughing at the fact that the reporter was like criticizing their first down runs. But there is kind of something to it. Running plays so far this season on first downs for Tampa Bay, they rank 31st in EPA per play and 21st in success rate. On passing plays on first down, they rank 8th in EPA per play and 12th in success rate. It has been a pretty big play calling shift now that Bruce Arians is out of there and Todd Bowles is the head coach. Obviously, Byron Leftwich is still there, but like they're just slamming their head in the wall with Lenny on first down runs. And it really hasn't been working. Like EPA, whatever. Like it is their offense. That has been a problem for this team. And I kind of wonder, Dalton, like, are we going to get to Rashad White territory sometime soon? Because Todd Bowles had a pretty direct quote at like, we got to see if the old guys can still play. And like, we'll see if the young guys can play after that loss to the Panthers. And I mean, it feels like that could be a Rashad White comment, but I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, I get that we can be overboard with stats, but should we give him such a pass for not even knowing what EPA is, or even explaining to him? I mean, success rate sounds even easier to digest, but I don't know, man. That's just bad that he was laughed that off. It's like, we're telling you that your calling plays is really affecting your offense's performance, and he just dismisses it. But I don't know. I wouldn't love that if I were a Bucks fan to hear a guy
fair enough.
Calling my plays say that. But hopefully it does result in some change, because that has not been effective, and you're asking an aging Brady with a banged up receiving core to pass in tougher situations. That's what this means. You know, you're putting him in obvious downs and third and longer situations. So but yes, to translate to fantasy, Rashad White is a guy who could be a real difference maker moving forward. But that's also assuming that this offense can get back on track. I mean, they just got blown out in Carolina. I mean, it might just be a problem all year long, other than, Evans getting a million targets will obviously result in fantasy production. But man, yeah, it's ugly in Tampa Bay right now. It's kind of turning into a disaster.
Yeah, I think we'll know a lot more. There'll be a lot of discourse about this offense after Thursday Night Football, that is for sure. So we'll see what happens, man. It's a, I don't know. I don't feel very good about the vibes in Tampa. That is for sure. And you know, Leonard Fournette, they paid him a good bit of money this offseason too. So, you know, they might not be like just ready to throw him aside. And I think Fournette has been good. It just seems like he's kind of wearing down with the workload, and maybe that could be a Rashad White thing going forward. But
I think it was Adam Levitan who said it. Do you know that Brady's touchdown percentage is cut in half this year?
Yeah.
It's half.
He doesn't look good either. He doesn't look as as good. Yeah.
Yeah.
From a physical standpoint either, but that's a whole nother conversation.
All right, man. Good stuff. Who do you like in that game? I'll say it. I think the Bucks do win this game. Having said all that.
I mean, I would take the Ravens and the points, but yeah, I think I like the Ravens in this game. I'm just kind of like, I'm pretty concerned about the Bucks, that's for sure. But Ravens also have a lot of concerns often. I'll take the under on 45 points. I will tell you that. I don't think this is going to be a high scoring game whatsoever. So not a fun fantasy one, but should be a pretty good game. I mean, theoretically, before the season, we'd be like, oh, Bucks and Ravens, hell yeah. Now it's like, ooh. Hopefully these teams can get on track. But at some point, Brady could just lay a hammer on one of these teams. But I thought that was going to be last week, and then they got their ass kicked by the Panthers. So not great there. That's
and we need these guys to get healthy. We need Andrews, Bateman to get healthy for Jackson.
We really do.
Just not just Thursday night, but moving forward.
Yeah, it's just like such a goofball pass-catching core beyond those guys. So still like those two players going forward when they can get healthy, but everybody else pretty questionable. All right. That is going to do it for us. Hope everybody enjoyed the new format. We got a lot of information for you out there. That's what Dalton's here for. He is the man when it comes to all things stats. And I'm, you know, happy to be along for the ride. That's going to do it for us this week. You can follow Dalton on Twitter at Dalton Del Don. If you don't already, you can follow me on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. And while you're there, make yourself a better fantasy player and a better person by following at Yahoo Fantasy. You will not regret it. That's my guarantee. If you like the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review on whichever podcast platform you're listening on. Since the show is free, this is the best way you can support us. Scott Pienowski and Frank Schwab will be reuniting after the betting show of last year. The people wanted more Frank and Scott together. They're going to get it. They'll be back here tomorrow to help preview the Week 8 games this weekend. Until then, we're out.